Mishlei Perek Yud, Pesukim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis, Bezes Hashem Yizvarach, I hope to be able to do all of it. The Pesuk Chaf Aleph Sifsei Tzadik Yiru'u Rabim. Yiru'u Yud Resh Ayin Vav sounds very much like the word Roya, a shepherd. Sifsei Tzadik Yiru'u Rabim. The question is, what does the Rabim refer to? It is the Nifal, the object of Yiru, or is it the noun, the subject of Yiru? In other words, is it Rabim Yiru Sifsei Tzadik or Sifsei Tzadik Yiru Rabim? And both lend itself to the words because that's the way Lashon Kodesh is written. So we'll have to explain what that is according to the Bir Hagra. Sifsei Tzadik Yiru Rabim ve'evilim b'chasar leiv yomusu. Here there's no doubt. Evilim yomusu. The evilim, evil, is a word that's found many times. It's obviously a very negative connotation. It's the opposite of tzadikim. So evilim b'chasar leiv yomusu. Chasar leiv is mashmat because they are lacking that leiv that they need. And the Goyin explains, V'arashoyim b'chasar leiv yomusu, look a few lines down in the Gra. Kloimar harishoyim she'ein roitfen acha atzadik, she'adrichon, hainu mepnei she'heim chasrei leiv, fe'ein mevinim divrei hatzadik, yomusu behechser leiv. So ve'einu mevinim divrei hatzadik doesn't mean, by the way, that they sit in a very complicated shir in inyonim mikvois and they can't follow the shir. Ve'einu mevinim divrei hatzadik means that they don't understand the tzadik's implications. They don't understand the tzaddik's intentions. So they're yomusu b'chasar leiv. So they're not right if after the tzaddik that he should, and the key word here is sheyadrichen. He should give them hadrocha. Hadrocha means to show them how to live. So we're talking about musar, we're talking about hashkofa, we're talking about being with the tzaddik, godl shimusha yoseh milimuda. I think everything is included. Ve'enem mevinim divrei hatzadik. It's an interesting lashon. Normally we would assume that an evil doesn't follow the tzaddik because he's not interested in being in the tzaddik's environment. Why? Because the tzaddik is telling him to do things that he doesn't want to do, and he's telling him to avoid things that he doesn't want to give up. So why should he follow the tzaddik? Here he says, Ein roit fenacha atzaddik sheyadrichein, mipnei sheim chasrei leiv ve'enem mevinim divrei hatzaddik. What I think it implies is that they do not understand the full implications of the tzaddik's hadrocha to benefit them, to make their lives more rich, more wonderful. I think that's really where the problem lies. The problem lies in the havana of what the te'elis will be if they listen to the tzaddik. But what is sifsei tzaddik yiru rabim? So he says, Kloimar shahatzadik hu madrich b'diburoi l'rabim l'gedoylim, sh'rabim nikroim talmidei chachomim. V'haynu, shahatzadik madrich afilu la'atalmid chacham b'sfosov, b'pnei she'im mevinim dvorov she'im toivim, l'cheinim rotzin achrob she'hei madrich. So here the Goyin learns that rabim is actually the people who learn from the tzaddik, who are mekabel from the tzaddik. And we would have assumed that Rabim means the Hamon Am. Rabim in the plural. The Gra here teaches us an unbelievable chiddush. That Rabim refers to Talmidei Chachamim. Now where does Rabim come to Talmidei Chachamim? So I'll bring you soon several other places in the Gra, one of which we've already encountered in the past, where he uses the word Rabim in that context. That Rabim is actually a remez to three levels of Talmidei Chachamim. Rav, Rebbe, and Rabbon. And to that effect, I brought the Hakdom of the Rambam to the Pirush HaMishnayos, where the Rambam explains the difference between these three titles. Rav, Rabbi, Rabbon. But before we say anything, what is the basic point of the Gra? The Gra says that the difference between an Evil and a Talmud Chacham is that a Talmud Chacham never comes to the conclusion that he understands everything and that he doesn't need the Tzaddik, he doesn't need the Moreh Derech, he doesn't need the Mashpia. It's fascinating. The Evil is the exact opposite. He's not interested in the Mashpia at all. He wants to do what he wants to do, and he doesn't hear the pluses, he doesn't hear the milas, he doesn't hear the beauty, he doesn't hear the excitement of the words of the Tzaddik. Tzaddik is frustrating and boring and not relevant to his life. And this is, by the way, a problem not just with classic Evilim. This is sometimes a problem with people who think they're okay the way they are. And the Tzaddik is talking to a different audience. He's not talking to them. Talmidei Chachomim are the exact opposite. No matter how much they know, no matter how much Hadrocha they have arrived at, they have achieved from Sfarim, from other Talmidei Chachomim, it's never enough. What the Gaon is describing is like the fish that are jumping up to get to catch the drops of water in the rain. This is the concept that Rabbim are yearning for Hadrocha so much that wherever they will encounter a tzaddik, the Sivtzei tzaddik will become their shepherd. It's a remarkable expression that the Sfasayim become the shepherd of the Rabbim of the Talmidei Chachamim. So let's read it again. Kloimar. Shatzadik hu madrich b'diburoi l'rabim l'gedoylim sh'rabim nikroim talmidei chachamim v'haynu shatzadik madrich afilu la'talmid chacham b'sfasov. Why? How is it that even talmidei chachamim will gravitate towards him and want to listen to what he has to say? B'pnei sheheim mevinim dvorov sheheim toivim. He doesn't stop and say Shehem Mevinim Dvarav. He says Mevinim Dvarav Shehem Toivim. The comprehension is that what the Tzaddik is saying is good for them. It's beneficial. They still have room to grow, to shteig, to accomplish. They could use the Musar. Lochenim Rotzen Achrav Sheyehei Madrichan. So it's not enough to wait until he starts giving his Musar, until he begins the Shir. They chase after him that he should give the Shir. They chase after him that he should be madrich them, to give them hadrocha, to give them guidance in life. So where did the Gaon get this idea that the word rabbim refers to talmidei chachamim, when in fact roisi b'nei aliyah v'hei ma'atim, you know, talmid chacham v'zvalgat sachnish dengas, you know, rabbim I would have expected is the hoi paloi, you know, the hamon ham is called rabbim. According to the Gra, it's the opposite. So where does he get this idea from? So before we go into the Gra and the Remez of Rabbim, which is fascinating, we'll start with the Hakdom of the Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnayos. The seventh Perek, he speaks about the different titles that are given to the Tanoim. So he says, Cholak Milus Anoshim Shinisgru B'Mishnah V'Heim Memeyo V'Esrim U'Shmoina K'mashi Yigdamnu L'Sholosh Milus. He says, the number of individuals singled out, mentioned in the Mishnayos, total 128. But those 128 can be divided, subdivided into three separate categories. Mi shehoya etzlei gadol miyoid, uberum hamaylois, kroi b'shmoi. This is the expression, gadol mirabon shmoi, that the name is even greater than rabon. Without any title is not a pachisus covered, it's exactly the opposite. It is a proof of the greatness of the person, that he's on the highest level. Berum hamaylos. So then, k'roi b'shmoy k'goin, hilel b'shamay u'shmayo v'avtalyen. B'pnei goydel ma'alosam. That's very interesting. Why? Why is it bedafka without a title? Because we don't allow ourselves to limit them by any particular title. We don't have the title for them. There's nothing that's going to elevate them more than the name itself. We don't say Rabbeinu Yeshaya, Rabbeinu Yirmiyah, Rabbeinu Yechezkel. Whoever is on one level below that, below their name, Rabbon, Kagon, Omru Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Yochanan Zakkai, Vasher heim etzlo lemato midargo zu, mechana oisom b'shem Rabbi. Kegoin omer Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, mechana anshi edargo zu, gam b'shem Abba. Kegoin omroi Abba Shol. Interesting, Abba Shol is not his name. Abba is the title. His name is Shol. So he says, kegoin omroi Abba Shol. Upa'omim mashmit mehem akinu yderech ihak poda, kegoin Shimon achi Azaria v'lozer ish bar Susa. He says, very interesting. He says that the number of people that you call by that name are, and he has a whole list, goes through the list, it includes most of the ones at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Shem Ben Shetach, Nita Abeli, Chulu V'Chulu, and of course Hillel and Shammai, Nochem Alavlor, and so on and so forth. V'choma Shetimtza, the last line here, very interesting. He says, don't challenge me that you found other names that they didn't have the title in front of it, because that's only derech ihak poda. In other words, it's like a, I wouldn't use the word sloppiness, chas v'shalom. It just means that it isn't because of their greatness, but simply maybe they're anivus, or maybe they didn't want people to call them that way, or whatever, but we're just simply not makbid so much to be medayik. It's an interesting question, why bedavka not to be makbid if they're deserving of a title. But the main point of the Rambam, and this has nothing to do with us, I'm just making a footnote comment, is the Rambam is saying that there will be times that you will find names other than those listed here, beginning with Shimon HaTzadik and ending with Baba Ben Buta. And those names are not because they're so great that it's Gadol Mirab and Shmai. Those names are simply, they left out the Rabbi. So again, according to the Rambam, there are three Madregas in the Mishnah. One of them is Gadol Mirab and Shmai. That's the greatest Madrega, Hillel Shammai. The next Madrega is Rabban, like Rabban Gamliel. The next Madrega is Rabbi, and that's like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir and so on. According to the Rambam, Rav, without the Yud, does not exist in the Mishnais, because we're talking about Tanoi. There is, however, another Madrega below Rabbi, which is Rav. So the Gra, the next piece that I bring you, remember the Pasuk, Ki Rabim Chalolim Hipilo V'Atsumim Kol Harugeha, which we spent a lot of time explaining the drash of the Chazal that speak about how the people who are not Higiyah L'Hoira U'Moirim, right? They did not reach the level of Hoira. You look a little bit further in the italics. Gemar Masech HaSaita Daf Chav Beizam Et Aleph. So, Masham Masech HaSaita Daf Chav Beizam Et Aleph Ki Rabim Chalolim Yipilas Et Talmid Chacham Shloi Higiyah L'Hoira U'Moirim. Leave the italics alone for a moment. Let's go back to the Gra. So the Gra is saying, Ki Rabim Chalolim Hu Neged HaTaiva. You know, he doesn't learn here like the Gemara in Soita. He's learning it in a Musadika way. And we already learned this, but let's chazer it over just very quickly. Ki Rabim Chalolim Hu Neged HaTaiva Shu Hepech HaTaira Shu Yoshev Gamkin Bebeisoi V'loi Meid. The person who's a Ben Taira, he sits in his house and he sits and learns. V'zeh, and this person who's been corrupted by the Zayna, by the terrible influences of his taiva, as a Yosheb Beveisay ve'ena loymed rak memali ta'avosay, l'chein Omar sherabim chalolim hipila. Now, if it's in contrast to Talmidei Chachamim, then certainly we would expect that the word rabim here, that the Zayna felled, F-E-L-L-E-D, that the Zayna shut down many corpses, made many corpses out of people. You'd expect that there are many of the rabbim here means many average people or below average people, but certainly not Talmid Chachamim. Because the Talmud Chacham, he just finished saying, is Yoshev Gamkin Bebeisai. So the Teretz says, no. The Koyach of the Isha Zayna that he's describing is so great that even Talmid Chachamim it can knock down, if you're not careful. Ki rabbim hu batayra Besoid Rav Rabbi Rabbon. For Omru Chalolim ki ataiva hu bifnim, lachein Omru Chalolim, shecholol hu gamkin bifnim. Moshe Omru Chazal, Rishoyim b'chayeim kruyim meisim. Dechsiv. So he quits, quotes a pasuk. It means that the person is dead while he's alive. That's what it means by bifnim. It's like the guf is alive, but the neshama is nisrefes. So therefore, it's considered a cholol. So it's an empty shell. Atzumim kol harugeo neged hachemda shu neged hamitzvus. First was keneged haTorah, the opposite of Torah. This is the opposite of mitzvus. Atzumim shu gibor be'evorim sheima atzamos. Kleimer shechemda hayreg av bali mitzvus lefi shehepuch hamitzvah. V'hainu k'may hamitzvus tzarech lirdof achareyem k'may shekosuv mitzvusecha tirdof nafshi. Kena baal chemda hu reidif tamid k'may shehamarnu l'malo. V'maharugeha lefi shechemda hu begolui v'chein ha'evorim v'hamitzvus hein begolui l'chein ha'maharugeha be'izgalya. So the Goyen builds up a whole edifice here to contrast Taiva and Chemda, which we learned about a great deal, a lot of Makairis in the Sefer that we put out that have to do with this point, that there's a distinction according to the Gro of these two different kinds of Yetzaharas. And as we mentioned, one is a lower Yetzahara and is temporarily completely satisfied. The other one, you're constantly chasing after, like covered, and you're never satisfied, because every Mishe writes a Yeshloi Mona writes a Masayim, chasing after money, chasing after covered. That kind of chemda, the desire to have what everybody else has and more, this is constantly making a person miserable, that he'll never ever be satisfied, not even for a moment. So we went through that, but the Nakuda here is that Rabim Chalolim Hipila means that the Koyach of Taiva is such that it can affect even Talmidei Chachamim, and the remez to it, the soid of Talmidei Chachamim here, which is only beremez mentioned, is in the word Rabim. How do you get from the word Rabim this remez? So this is exactly what the Goyin says. Rav, Rebbe, Rabban. Look at the word Rabim. If you start with the first two letters, you have Rav. If you start with the first three letters, you have Rabbi. If you have an understanding that Yud and Mem equals Nun, because Yud is 10 and Mem is 40, so equals Nun. So instead of the Yud Mem, you'll put there a Nun, you'll have Rabban. So it comes out that the word Rabbi has all three levels. Rav, Rabbi, Rabban, all three levels are included in the word Rabbim. And this is what he meant when he said that Rabbim means the different levels of Talmidei Chachamim. So I wanted to make a suggestion based on this Gra, which I don't think we mentioned in the past. The Gemara in Sota says that a Talmid shaloi higia lohiro umoire, that this Talmid is the Rabim Chalolim Ipila. He's a person that's responsible for a lot of korbanos, meaning that he's going to end the paskni shaylus shaloi kahigan, because he doesn't know enough. He hasn't had enough shimush. He hasn't had enough practice. Lohi higia lohiro, and he's moire anyhow. So I was thinking to myself, based on the Gra, you understand very well that Rabim, the level of Rav, Rebbe, Rabban, it means like this. A person is a Rav, and he's paskening like the level of Rebbe, meaning that he's paskening like the level of somebody that he's not yet on. A person's a Rabbi, and he's paskening on the level of Rabban. A person is Rabban, and he's paskin a level of Gadol Mirabban Shmoy. And what's fascinating about this idea is that the whole nekuda of this is that the person thinks he's more than he is. That's why he ends up paskining. And the reason he does that is because he wants covet. He wants the authority. He wants the power. It's not L'Shem Shamayim, because if a person was L'Shem Shamayim, he would be perfectly happy and satisfied being the darga that he's on and strive to work hard to achieve the next level, L'Shem Shamayim. Therefore, Rabbi who wants, Rav who wants to be Rabbi, and Rabbi who wants to be Rabban, and a Rabban who wants to be Gadol Merabban, his desire ruins him, because he makes mistakes and he paskins where it doesn't belong. Somebody comes to a Rav, a Choshev Rav, a wonderful Rav, a Pesach even, but he's not under the Madrega of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he says, you know, paskin be a shilas, end of life shilas. All kinds of complicated inyonim, paskin about Erevin and in Brooklyn or in Manhattan or whatever. And he says, yeah, why not? So this is, where does this come from? It comes from a desire to be appreciated for what he is not. Certainly not yet. So that is the tremendous, it's so beautiful that if Rabbim represents Rav, Rebbe, Rabban, so Rabbim Chalolim Hipila means that it's not Pshat Talmud, he's not even on any level. He could be on a level, but he's making believe he's on the next level. And that's also included in Talmud Shelo Higia L'Ro Omeira. That was what I wanted to be Mechadish here, based on this Gra in the italics. Now, in the Gra, he has it one more time in Mishlei Perik Yudalid Pasuk Chof. I just wanted to mention that as well. Gam L'Reyehu Yisna Rosh, Shelo Rosh Soina Yisai Afilu Reyehu. He says that when a person is rich, he has many friends. When a person is poor, he has nothing but enemies. So the Pashup Shat, it's a very simple and basic truth, unfortunately. You know what I always say about the first letter in Megillas Esther and the second letter? The first letter, which was written on the spot, as it were, right then and there, when they had the big Yeshua and everybody was saved, it says, but it does not mention Umatonos Levyonim. In the second letter, it says, Mishloach Monos Yishlereyehu Umatonos Levyonim. That was a year later. The question is why? I wanted to say that this is not a mitzvah tzedakah. What happened was, the sense of achdus and the sense of responsibility to one another, and the sense that each person had that not only was he saved, not only was his family saved, but everybody was saved, all ye. This was the parallel. The Mishloach Monos Ish L'Reyehu was a reflection upon Haman's words of Yeshnoi Am Echad Mefuzar Mefayrat. It's an Am Echad, and it's not Mefuzar Mefayrat. It's an Am Echad Mamish. At that moment, the feeling was so sublime, the sense of achdus was so great, the feeling that the Yeshua was all of Klal Yisrael, Bevas Achas, together, that there was no sense of up the hill and down the hill. There was no sense of the rich neighborhood and the poor shanties. There was no idea that I have my friends and you don't belong to my club. You don't belong to my country club. Everybody was so involved with one another that all the mechitzas of status and class broke down. And in fact, lehefech, everybody was close, everybody was warm, everybody was reyehu. So there was no need to single out the aniyim. Give it a year. And all of a sudden, oilam kiminhagay noyeg. And the rich are back in their country club. And the poor are left outside looking through the glass and yearning for a little warmth. So now he had to make a special chiyuv, a new mitzvah, the Rabbanon, of Matanos Levyonim. The rich have friends and the poor have nothing but enemies. That's what I always say. I think it's an emes pshat lamita shel Torah. Kol mokom shata moitze gedulos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shoma Tamoitse, what is the Lashon? Anvisanusai, his anova, his humility. Kivayochol, the humility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you see. That's what you discover. I had a kasha. What does it have to do with anova? The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about the aniyim. He dwells amongst them. Ah, that's it. Rich people, haughty people, do not care about the poor to dwell amongst them. You want a handout? Here you go. But get away from me, because I don't want your poverty to infect me. Rich people consider poverty a sickness, a disease, a communicable disease. Rachmana litzlan. The Ribbono Shlom says, I want to be amongst the lepers. Ich will sein zwischen den Aniyim. You think they're lepers. I think that that's where it's at, v'mezokt in the colloquial. Dorten will ich sein. You want to find the Ribbono Shlom? That's where you're going to find him. This is exactly the nekuda of Shom Atamoitse Anvisanusai. without the mida of anova, you don't find anybody having anything to do with aniyim. Ad kedei kach eshkoin es daka ushval ruach. That's where I will rest. That's where I will dwell with this miserable, the oppressed, the suffering souls, the ones who have nothing. So that's the pshat. Gam l'reyeyu yisna rosh. But now the Goyin says that this is a moshul for Torah. How so? V'chein b'Torah. Mishu rosh soinei oisai afilu reyehu u'misrachek mimenu. Avol ha-talmud chocham ha-koil oyavim oisai u'misparim boi. He says this is an ideal society, of course. But in a society that appreciates Torah, everybody loves the Talmud Chacham, and everybody's mispoya with the Talmud Chacham. Everybody is proud of the fact that they have a connection to the Talmud Chacham. Where does it say in this pasuk, Talmud Chacham? It's Rabbim. V'ayave Oshir Rabbim. Soid Rabbim kor kasafti lemalo Rav Rebbe Rabban. If you look at the footnote on the bottom, I point out that this is very complicated inyan, which has a lot to do in Inyone Kabbalah. The Megala Amukas talks about it, and it's also in the Tikkun Ezoyah. In fact, if I remember correctly, the Megala Amukas mentions the Tikkun Ezoyah as well. Now, that is the first pasuk, and that is a very fascinating thing that the word Rabbim can be used in that way. That Rabbim is a remez to Talmid HaChomim, Rav Rebbe Rabban. The next pasuk, Birchas Hashem Hisashir, Lo Yosef Etzev Ima, is a very important lesson. You know, this is the issue of Siyata Dishmaya. You know, we know that without Siyata Dishmaya, we won't be able to fight the Yetzer Hara. We also know that you need Siyata Dishmaya in learning Torah as well. But sometimes we don't fully appreciate to what extent. So let's first look at the Gra. The Gra, Birchas Hashem hi tzashir v'lo Yosef etzev ima sheho itzavon hu beiz mashmaus. He says the word etzev includes two things. You have the pasuk, for example, be itzavon tochalenu. You koitz v'dardar tatzmiach loch. You're going to have to work very hard to finally produce some fruit of the soil. That was the klola. It's interesting that the Mesilas Yesharim says that the whole inyan of Ishtadlus in Parnosa, which ultimately comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is part of the klola that we're mechuyev to do our Ishtadlus because we have that Orah Adama. Arura means Ishtadlus. You have a cursed land, you have to work very hard to eke out a living. So that's tircha. Then there's da'aga, there's fear and concern also, because when you plant, you know, why is, say there's Rahim called emunah, v'hoya emunah sitecha? Because you have to have a lot of emunah. Yeah, there's a lot to worry about. Is it going to take? Is it going to be a drought? Is it going to be a fire? Is it going to be a plague, a pestilence? Whatever it is. Will ganovim come after I harvested and take everything away? So there's tircha and there's da'aga. This the hard work, the toil, and then there's the concern and the worry. Vakoil echad. This is all included in the word itzavon. Mishayeshli tircha b'tzarach liyageya harbe he b'da'aga. He says when you have to do a lot of tircha, there is a da'aga involved. It's toli zebaze. It's one thing. Ki'inyon mar b'nechasim mar b'da'aga. Bezehu, and this is the pshat of this pasuk. Birchas Hashem, kashe HaKadosh Baruch Hu mefanis u'mevarches ha'adam, oisa ha'brocha hi ma'asheres oisai. So the brocha, Birchas Hashem hita'ashir, it's going to give you ashirus. But this ashirus will not be mar b'nechasim mar b'da'aga. Amazing pshat. That you can sometimes have an ashirus which doesn't bring da'aga. We would have thought mar b'nechasim is an axiom. If you have many nechasim, you have to have da'aga. So the pshat is the Gaon says marbe if he does it on his own, but if he has a birchas Hashem and the Ashiras comes from that siyata d'shmaya, from that bracha, it comes without the aga, and you don't apply the rule of marbe nachas and marbe d'aga. It's remarkable. So he says, "Oisa bracha imasheres oisa v'loy kishar Ashiras shetzarich letircha v'yegia rav." Not like the other Ashiras. The Tamid B'da'aga, where he's always worried what's going to be, maybe another company will do, maybe build a better machine, make a better product, maybe somebody will, my partner will steal the business away from me. Basic. So the first thing that the Gaon says is talking about real parnasa, real ashiras. There are two kinds of ashiras. You know, there's aisha shamar leba'al of l'ra'asa, by the way. That's also true. That when the Ribbono Shel'olam gives you the bracha of ashiras, it does not have with it the etzev of the suffering of the ashir and the consequences of becoming rich. You know how many people became rich and rued the day that they, quote-unquote, won the lottery? That they had the hatzlocha, because what happened was they moved to another neighborhood, the children were influenced by the wrong influences, they were inspired by the wrong people, and before you know it, it was a disaster and a crisis. And some of them survived, bekoshi, and some of them got lost. And the person rued the day that he ever had a penny, because in the old days, in the Alter Heim, everything was wonderful, and the children were Yirei Shamayim. And there are many other consequences. A person gets very wealthy and he dresses up his wife in diamonds and rubies and jewels, and she goes out into the high society, and there she meets somebody, Rachmana Litzlam. And that's the end of his life. You know, you can't really know what tomorrow will bring, but Ashiras isn't always what it's touted to be on so many levels. But that is Bamed Dvarim Amurim, says the Gro, if it's not Birchas Hashem, he's Ashir. But if you have Birchas Hashem, it does not have Etzev Ima. And he's speaking about Tircha and Da'aga, but Tircha comes in many flavors and Da'aga comes in many flavors. So you have to be very, very careful in that kind of Oysher and a person's busy Yom and Valayla worrying. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, there is no worry with it. It's like the mon. There was no psilus. Then he says, this is also true of Torah. Va'oichu negad ha-Torah, k'mo she'amru, l'ukme girsa siyata d'shmaya. Haynu shel yishkach ma shelomad. K'mo she'amru b'maseches brachas daflam et beiz amet beiz. Mitor she'chassidim hoyu, Torahsan mishtameres bekirba. You know, it's very interesting. You have a person learning Yom V'Layla. Here you had tzaddikim, chassidim arishonim, hayushayim shachas kodem atfila, shachas achat fila, shachas netfila, 9 hours a day. You daven 9 hours a day, what's going to be with your Torah? It's a good question. So the Gemara is concerned about that. So what about their Torah? So the Gemara says, because they were chassidim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded them, Torahsan mishtameres bekirban. Apparently, you have to do the yegiyah of acquiring the Torah. But how well you retain the Torah, how clear that Torah is, how much is preserved year after year, is tolui in siyata d'shmaya, and as a reward, if you will, or because of the closeness itself. Because there are two ways of seeing the Chassidim HaRishonim in their relation to Hashem. Is it a matana, or is it simply the mitzias of that kind of incredible awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Torah was blessed in a way that it was preserved unnaturally? There was a siyata d'shmaya. Mishtameres b'kirban v'lo od, ela sheyiyah k'mayon hanoyveya v'liyiyah tzorich liyegiyah. He says that the regular yogata u'matzosa, you don't need that level of yegiya anymore once you reach the level of siyata d'shmaya that we're talking about here. V'zeu birchas Hashem kasha kadosh brochum v'orchas ha'odem b'toyra, yisa asher shel yishkach mima shalom ad klal, v'yela Torah harbe. Plugam lo Yosef etzav imosh li etzorach li yigia el yia kemayin hanoveya. By the way, I've spoken about this many times, and not so long ago, if I remember correctly, but the idea of siyata d'shmaya in a person's hatzlocha in learning cannot be emphasized enough. We have no hasaga what difference it makes that a person has siyata d'shmaya. The same environment, the same kind of people, and one person can have an unusual massive hatzlocha, and another person can come away empty-handed and bereft and completely in total distress. What happened to the year? What happened to the Gemara? What happened to my Torah? What happened to my time, my learning? I mean, just completely at a loss. How could it be with such a desire I ended up empty-handed? This is all a matter of siyata d'shmaya. And siyata d'shmaya comes from so many different sources. Sometimes it comes from the desire. The desire is so strong that the Ribbono Shel'olam has to give it to you. And sometimes it comes from zchus avos, and sometimes it comes from a chesed that a person did. You never know, because we don't have the Ribbono Shel'olam's cheshbon. We can't read those charts. But when a person has a siyata d'shmaya, he can accomplish things that are unbelievable. I know everybody has this experience. You sit down by a taisvus. The taisvus in general is not easy. But sometimes a person looks at a taisvus and his mind is in a fog. He has to concentrate. He keeps telling himself, no, look at the words, concentrate. What does taisvus say? And an hour can go by and he's still in the same fog. The next day he can come in and look at a taisvus. And every word, one word after another, he sees it, he hears it, it's clear. And even when it comes to that, that's just to understand what Tosfos wants, what Tosfos is saying on the surface. Sometimes a person can't even get to that. But after that clarity comes a higher level of clarity, where somehow he understands and comprehends things that it might have been beyond him. And how is that possible? The answer is siyata d'shmaya. So the Gaon says that siyata d'shmaya here is two things. Number one, that he has a good zikaron; he remembers what he learned. And number two, siyata d'shmaya is that without such incredible strain and struggle, such tribulation, he calls it etzev. It's very interesting. Yagaita, you sometimes a person suffers. A person can be brought to tears because he doesn't understand something. He can say, Ribbono Shel'olam, what do you want from me? And that is etzev. That is a terrible etzev. So yegiya is not a lark. It's not a game. Yegiya means suffering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a bracha of siyata d'shmaya in Torah, mitigates that suffering, minimizes the amount of yigia that's necessary, and he becomes a mayan hanaveya. You know, mayan hanaveya is spontaneous. A person looks at a pasuk and he sees it clearly. He looks at a Rashi and understands the implications of Rashi. We look at a bir agro and we see through and through what the goyin wants. It's a tremendous matan. Now, a lot of times, I have to admit that people can delude themselves into thinking they have siyata d'shmaya because they stop short of yegiya. That's a very tough thing to prove. You know, a person thinks he understands, but he really doesn't understand at all. The person said, but you know, everybody knows yagatu matzosa, so he didn't do any yegiya, so how could he possibly understand? He has a teretz, siyata d'shmaya. Doesn't work like that. A person's need for yegiya is not something that he can measure, just like he can't measure how much siyata d'shmaya he has. But it comes. So our responsibility is to do the yegiya. But very often we are witnesses after the fact that this could not be because of my yegiya alone. I had to have had some supernatural help, some kayach and some hashpah, some force that permeates me and enters me. And many times people are learning and they feel as one with the Gemara. They feel complete. You know, there's lahavdil alef havdolos. People say that they're in the groove or in the zone. That's what they're talking about. But in learning, being in the zone is nishpashet. It's a very high level and very complicated thing. You can't just stand be in the zone. So, what's the pshat? Pshat is siyata d'shmaya. Siyata d'shmaya can put a person, kevayochol, into the zone. So that's what the Goyin says on this pasuk. The Gemara that is Yogato Matsasa is a Gemara Masachas Megillah Davavah Mitbeis. A well-known Gemara. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak and Yom Lecha Adam. That's a very interesting lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara simply doesn't tell you the rule. It says that a lot of people will fool themselves into thinking. So Yom Lecha Adam Yogati V'loy Matsasi Al Tam. Interesting. Now, a lot of times people work hard and it doesn't work out. Al Tam. Interesting. Lo yogati umatsasi, also al tamen. But yogati umatsasi, tamen. So that's something that we've learned and we've studied and we've analyzed. Yigia and mitzia are stiris. Mitzia means spontaneous. You find something in the street, it's called a mitzia. If you build a construction, you spend hours and hours of intensive labor, you can't call it a mitzia. So if it's yogata, how could it be matzasa? The Teretz says it's always a mitzia, and this is something that everybody knows. But then the Gemara continues: Hani mili b'divrei Torah, avu b'masal maton siyatahu min shemayu. It's very interesting. In business, there's no such thing as making it happen. This is something that the Gemara took for granted a long, long time ago. You can have all kinds of business plans. I know somebody who wanted to build a hotel in Brooklyn, a very, very choshev azach, and he had the plans and this and that or whatever. The maaseh, the whole thing fell apart. Somebody else built a hotel. And somebody has an internet idea, he wants to make a Google. But he didn't make the Google. Google made the Google. And the same thing is true of everything else. Everybody has ideas, everybody has intentions, everybody tries, and some people work very, very hard. They work hard on the business plan, they work hard opening up a store in a certain neighborhood. Everything was supposed to work out, and all of a sudden something happens and an umchein is thrown on the store or whatever. That is not possible to say in business yogata umatzasa. And lehefech lo yogata umatzasa is possible. It is possible. You can win the lottery. Because in business, says the Gemara, it's siyata mishmaya. And that's why it says, loy lachachomim lechem in Koyelis. Because chochma does not produce lechem. Siyata dishmaya produces lechem. However, the Gemara continues. And this is a very big chiddush. Before we were speaking about divrei Torah, and we said, yogata umatzasa tamin. Zok de Gemara uledivrei Torah loyamoron elo lechadude. Only in the Havana yogata. Without yogata, it doesn't go. And with yogata, there has to be matzasa. If it's not matzasa, it's a simon. You're not trying hard enough. You're not struggling enough. You don't want it desperately enough. But when it comes to l'ukme girsa, to remember, to have the clarity and to remember the bottom line, or to remember the nusach of the Chazal, of the Mishnah, of the Tosefta, of the Gemara, of the Ramba, that is siyata min shemayahi. Remarkable. If someone would have asked me, ignorant me, to write that line in the Gemara, you know, I would have written the opposite. I mamish would have written the opposite. I would have said, Chazara, Chazara, Chazara. You Chazar enough times, you'll remember. Everybody knows Ashrei by heart. There's no reason why they can't know the Gemaras by heart also. They just have to repeat it enough times. But Chochma, Havana. You can sit in front of a Gemara, Yogata, Yogata, Yogata. It doesn't go because you don't have the cup. Because Shmuel can give you that cup. He can give you that clarity. That's where you need Siyata Dishmaya. And the Gemara says not like that. Remarkable. That the Teretz says, Avada, levels and levels of Havana exist. And no one is able to penetrate a level that doesn't belong to him. Maybe he can go a drop higher. But no person who's not the Vilna Gaon is going to become the Vilna Gaon. And that does not depend on Siyata Deshmaya. Because that's not your chelek. I'm not mechuyev to be the Vilna Gaon. I'm mechuyev to be Aaron Kahn. And that itself is an avoid of a lifetime. And the same thing with each and every one of us. We are mechuyev to be who we are in learning. But remembering something is a remarkable thing. You need Siyata Deshmaya. That's what the Gemara says. L'uk me'girsa. To come to a bottom line and to remember it and to have a clarity, this is something that needs Siyata Deshmaya. Very remarkable. I brought for you, I'm not going to go into it because we don't have the time for it, but I brought for you a very nice matana. And this is the five klolim, the five principles for success in learning and particularly in remembering what you've learned. That the Teferis Yisrael, Yisrael Lipschitz, in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, in this section, you know, he has two sections, like Rashi and Tosfos, he has Yochin and Boaz. In Boaz, he has these five Yesodos, these five principles. And they're very basic and very remarkable. He says, you can't learn, just very quickly, I'm not going to read it with you, but just go over them very quickly. You can't learn and luxuriate at the same time. A person can't sit on a lounge chair with a pina colada in one hand and the Gemara in the other. It doesn't go. But by the way, it's not pshat that it doesn't go only because Torah is be'ema b'yir b'reses uzeya. You may not be allowed to learn like that. But he's not talking about frumkeit. Even though the frumkeit is a chelik of the learning, reishis chochma yiras Hashem. Like the Vilna Gaon says, it's part of the learning yiras shamayim. Because if you have yiras shamayim, your whole sense of what learning is an entirely different enterprise, a different agenda. Do you understand? It's not shaykh to say, for a moment even, that without yiras shamayim, it's the same level of learning. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about the casualness. Things that are casual, you don't remember, you're not ma'ayin enough in, is pleasant. Was not talking about sitting and learning. We speak about the word haravin in learning. Haravin means to work hard, to toil, to struggle. There's no question about it. I mean, I have to say this to you. So that's his first point. Shaloi til my derech haroi. Don't lounge. The second point. Keva. You need menuchas hanefesh. To make Torah keva doesn't just mean that it can't be in a lounge chair. It's interesting because they're almost the opposite, but they're both absolutely true. You can't lounge, but you can't have interruptions. You can't have troubles. You have to have the peace and the quiet. You have to have the solitude. You have to have the menuchas hanefesh. Then he has another pshat in the word keva. Hemshech. You can't have interruptions. Now this goes to the extreme. Remember what everybody says about 12 and 12 is not 24. Remember Rabbi Akiva? So he goes and turns around and he goes right back for another 12 years. Why? Why doesn't he spend a week? The Teretz is 12 plus 12 is not 24. But that is talking about years. By us, it's 12 minutes plus 12 minutes is not 24. We don't even have the ability. Some people don't have the zitzfleisch to stay on something. So you go out and you make yourself a cup of coffee, and then you sit and talk with your chaverim for a little bit, and then you go back to the Gemara. He says, there's no way that that kind of lack of keva is going to allow for a person to be matzliach in learning. So that's his third pshat in the word keva. Hemshech, shlo yehei limudo, he says, piski piski. You can't have a little bit here and a little bit here. Lilmud ma'at l'hafsik, he writes. Lilmud ma'at l'hafsik. And that's how he spends the whole day. By the way, he quotes the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalet, chavilois chavilois. You can't make bundles out of Torah. Because whoever makes his Torah chavilois chavilois is mismayit. The Torah gets reduced. So that's a very, very important yesod in keva. Then he has another pshat in the word keva. Fourth pshat. This is his fourth principle. That is clarity. A person should not give up the ship. Bring it to port. Take the idea and take it all the way. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. This idea of keva, meaning with a strength, with a takifus. Finish the job. Don't stop in the middle of the sefer. Don't stop in the middle of the blot. Learn the whole thing. And that is his fourth sense of the word keva. The fifth shot of keva is to steal. How does keva mean to steal? Asei toroscha keva, to steal time for learning. To make it so important that everything else, you steal from everything else. Even though those things are necessary, you push them aside. And that he learns, everybody brings that. Hayikva Adam Elikim, Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Avamid Beis. People have a lot of tzrochim. You know, that's by the way, the idea of Shchayres Ka'ayrev that the Gemara says, and Machzorim Livnei Beisam Ka'ayrev. People have rachmanis on their families, and they do a lot of errands, and they take care of a lot of things. And some people are Talmidei Chachamim, and they sit in the Beis Medrash, and these things have to be done by the wife. You know, I gave a very strong shiur to the staff here in the camp. I spoke to them, but Rabbeinu Shlom said, "Kaisemer leBeis Yanke v'Sagad leBnei Yisrael." He mentioned the women first, and what lies in that is so profound, because it's not just giving them the Torah; it's the achrayus of making it possible for their husbands to learn uninterrupted. Is an unbelievable mesiras nefesh. We have a mitzvah pruvu. We do not want to limit the number of children. And the husband goes away to learn in the Beis Medrash, and he doesn't come back till very late at night or early in the morning. What a mesiras nefesh that is! But it's nothing compared to what the Gemara describes in Maseches Ksubas Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, right where they tell the story of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara tells us that they used to go away for 12 years. The Gemara tells us the story of Rav Chama Bar Bisa, who had a son by the name of Osha, whom he never knew. And he mistook this fellow when he came back. This Osha was talking to him and learning, and he started having regrets. Maybe I shouldn't have gone because I have a child, because he knew that his wife gave birth to a child when he left. And now the child is a bar mitzvah bacher, just about, and he's probably doesn't know anything, because who's to teach him? And little did he know that this Oshia was his own son, this beautiful young Talmud Chacham, this treasure of a boy. Who raised him? Who made Oshia if the father's not there for 12 years? And that's the amazing thing. The Gemara says, Noshim b'mayzachim. Where do they have a zchus ha-Torah? They wait for the husbands. People think they wait for the husbands. They make supper and they wait for the husband to come home. Yankala, here's supper. You must be hungry. Wait for the husband 12 years without a husband. That's what he means to steal. There's an unbelievable soul. So, but where's your rachmanis? Where's your sense of responsibility? What normal society would ever tolerate such a thing? 12 years you go away from your family? You see what it means? And those are the most blessed of matzavim. And it's not easy. And there are things that come up. Don't think for a moment that this is a lark. It's not like that. Vayikva, a ganav is a ganav. You're taking away. And the mesiras nefesh of the women of Klal Yisrael was such that you had to have a koisoma leveis yankov before the sagad of Yisrael, otherwise it doesn't come. Look in the biographies, the deal that Reb Moshe Feinstein made with his Rebbetzin. You see this book that came out about Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Zichrono Livracha. So Yibodel Chaim Tov Baruchim, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's schedule is grueling. It's grueling. And she had all of these things, but she could have done 10 times as much. But the number one priority in her life was her husband's learning. No question about it. Everything else was secondary. Everything else was peripheral. What she was able to accomplish in that peripheral and secondary was legendary. But a person should never forget that with all of her chizuk to women and all of her constancy of brachas and tefillas and everything, the number one priority of her life was that Reb Chaim Kanievsky should be the Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik that he is, and that nothing should interfere with that. So that's what we speak about when we speak about these five inyanim. just the chazer over each one of them, it's brilliant. He says there's five different kinds of keva. The first four are just different interpretations of the word keva, consistency and strength and so on. First of all, you're not supposed to learn and lounge. The second akuda is you have to have menuchas hanefesh. It has to be a kavua, still fine. So lounging that, but interruptions and confusions and issues and problems, that's also not. The third pshat is don't break it up into little morsels, into little portions with all kinds of interruptions in between. That is not going to work. The chavilois, chavilois. It's going to interfere with the koyach of learning, and it's certainly going to undermine your learning, your memory of learning. The next pshat and final pshat of keva in the normal sense of kviyos is that you have to be tough, resilient, and resist the temptation to throw in the towel prematurely. And finally, keva means to steal. You have to steal time. You have to steal other people's time. And this is not pashut. Let's now go for a moment, but let's go to the Rabbeinu Yoina. The Rabbeinu Yoina on Pasuk Chav Beis. Birchas Hashem Yisah Ashir V'le Yosef Etzev Ima. Hi Hama'asheres Es Ashirim. V'le Yosef Tzar V'daigas Mamon in Birchas Hashem. Moshe Kosov Yitain Li'edidai Sheina. It allows person to sleep. Money worries even for the rich. What does the Pasuk say in Koheles? V'hasova le'oshir einenu maniach lo lishon. The rich is fat, and the fat in his belly gives him indigestion. He doesn't let him sleep. Mesuka shnas ha'oved im ma'at ha'be yochel. Doesn't matter how much he eats, he's satisfied, and he can sleep. Inyan says the Rabbeinu Yoina al tzaddik haniskar she'ein hatzaddik niv halohain v'loimar bebitzar b'miut oshrei ki yodeya hu she'im yitzav Hashem itoyes habrocha lo yitzorech litzar v'tirdas machshava ki mibilti rav machshavis yakiya b'chosei u'bamesh lo yigza Hashem yizbarach losis loy ein harbis machshavis mayu ki ein machshava mayalas. The lechem that's full of etzev is because they get up at dawn and they think that everything is koichi v'yotzem yodi. Etzev means tzar and kas. And he quotes a pasuk. Let me explain to you what the difference between the Rabbeinu Yoina is and what the Gra and the other Mefarshim say on this pasuk. The pshat that we heard before is that there's a bracha that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an ashirus that is bestowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And unlike the ashirus which is derived from Koitz V'Dardar Tatzmiach Loch, this does not come with any kites and dardar. There's no suffering. There's no etzev. And that's the Gaon said is applies to Torah as well. The Rabbeinu Yoina has a different understanding of this pasuk. He's giving you another pshat. He's saying that you have to understand that parnasa comes from Hashem. And then you will be that oshir that does not have any etzev. Meaning, in other words, that we're not talking about a person who's actually rich. He may not be rich, but he's mistapic with what he has, and he understands that his struggle and his travails and all of his efforts would come to naught if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him to have. And if Hashem wants him to have, he can make it happen without a struggle. So all of that machshava and etzev that comes with fighting and struggling to achieve and to accomplish and to win over against the arch enemy who's your competition, all of this is useless and meaningless. What about the ishtadlus? So, you know, there's ishtadlus and there's ishtadlus. There's ishtadlus that can eat up your life and make you miserable in the process. And there's ishtadlus you put in your kaychus, and then you go about doing what's really important, Torah and mitzvahs. And that's what he says. B'mesh lo yigzar Hashem yizbarach l'aseis lo ein harbeis machshav ismail. The rabbi's machshav b'levish is not going to help you because atzas Hashem hitok. So Rabbeinu Yonah has a different look on the whole pasuk. He doesn't say that there's two kinds of Ashirus. One Ashirus with Birchas Hashem and one Ashirus without Birchas Hashem. The Ashirus without Birchas Hashem is full of Etzev, which according to the Gra means two things, Tircha and Da'aga, worry. The Bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, and that leads to Ashirus, the simen of it is, it's without suffering, it's without Tircha, without worry. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that this pasuk is teaching a hadracha in how to live your life. It's a mussar shmuz, not an identification. The kind of life a person should live is not to struggle so hard that his parnasa provides him just with worry and misery. Because really, it comes from Hashem, and the trust in Hashem is all that matters. So this is part and parcel of a whole Ashkafas Olam about Parnasa, and the Rabbeinu Yonah plugs into that, so to speak. That's his taich.